In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I brought an icon with me. It's probably too small for you all to view, but I keep it in a very prominent place in my office. It's in a place where I often look at it, and I will just describe briefly what is on the icon. It actually comes from the spiritual treatise that was written by St. John Climacus, whom we always honor on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent. And it has a ladder, and there are rungs on the ladder, and these are exercises that we are supposed to be using throughout our Christian life. Ways to continue to climb closer to God. So each rung becomes a little more difficult. It starts off in a certain way, and then it continues to grow in intensity. And on the ladder are men all the way towards the top, and on the sides are demons, if you will, dark angels that are shooting arrows, and they have nooses, and they're trying to pull the people off, these being the holy people. And the attempt is to ascend to heaven, and at the top of the icon is Christ in heaven urging people to continue to be faithful and to continue to follow the practices of Christianity. Below are holy fathers praying for them, and at the very bottom is a large mouth, of course, that representing Hades. And those, there is actually someone falling into that mouth. And also across from Christ are holy angels, and they are encouraging and praying for the faithful. So I would like to speak this week about the role of angels. An angel is a messenger of God, and before God created any part of the creation, he created the holy angels. St. Basil wrote the following: "The birth of the world was preceded by a creation of things suitable for the exercise of supernatural powers, outstripping the limits of time, eternal and infinite." Also in the book of Job, it is written, "When the stars were made, all my angels praised me with a loud voice." Angels are countless, bodiless, ageless, genderless, rational, immortal, spiritual beings gifted with individuality and free will. Even though they are bodiless spirits, they cannot be everywhere at the same time. But they can move freely everywhere without being obstructed by walls, locked doors, or any other obstacle. Also, in order to become visible to men, they can assume bodies of men or even animals or any other form that will suit their mission. They are divided into three hierarchies, or three choirs, as St. Dionysius the Areopagite calls them, beginning with those closest to God and ending with those closest to humans. The seraphim come first, then the cherubim and thrones. The seraphim are sometimes called the burning ones because they are closest to God and radiate pure light. The seraphim are the angels who constantly sing God's praises and whose duty it is to regulate the heavens. Lucifer is said to have been one of the seraphim who had outshone all the others until he became the head of the fallen angels. Together with the seraphim, the cherubim and thrones are in unceasing adoration of God and have no dealings with man. In prayer, we often refer to the many-eyed cherubim and the six-winged seraphim. Choirs of dominions, virtues, and powers who govern space and the stars are responsible for our galaxy. They are considered the second choir of angels, and also have no direct contact with humans. The choir of the principalities, archangels and angels come third. They are in charge of earth. They execute the will of God. They are perpetual guardians of man and his children and are messengers of God. In terms of the four known and named archangels, we have Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. They carry God's most important messages to humans, such as what we will be hearing next Sunday when we commemorate the Archangel Gabriel delivering the announcement to the Theotokos that she would bear a son whose name would be called Jesus. These archangels also command God's armies of angels and in the constant battle with the evil angels. We also remember from Scripture in the book of Genesis, Michael banned Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. The rank of angels are those that are closest to humans. They act as intermediaries between the Almighty and humanity. They are often referred to as our guardian angels. During the service of baptism, a prayer is addressed to God by celebrating priest or bishop that he assigned a special guardian angel to be with the newly baptized. The clergyman says the following: wed him or her in life to a radiant angel to safeguard him or her from every plot of the adversary, from every evil encounter, from the destruction that wastes at noonday, and from evil visions. In Psalm 91 we read, "For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways." So God assigns and sends us a special guardian angel. It is said that George Washington spoke of his guardian angel often and credited his success at Valley Forge to an inspiring visit from a heavenly being. Abraham Lincoln often called upon the healing powers and wisdom of the angels to help guide him and heal the nation in times of death and devastation. Stories of encounters with these celestial beings have been around since the beginning of written history. And I'm sure there's some beautiful children's books that I remember from the past that I'm sure we have in our bookstore here that you might want to take a look at, because they explain it in such a very nice and simple way that is understandable for all of us. So you might want to take a look today or in the very near future for books and stories about guardian angels in the children's books. Let us return now to the scene from the icon that depicts the dark angels. These angels are dark because they rebelled against God and fell from his grace, thus becoming bad or evil angels. As we spoke about earlier, Lucifer became their leader. He was known at first as the bearer of light and the greatest of the heavenly host. After the fall, he became Satan, the prince of darkness and the underworld. This fall has left Satan with a consuming anger against both God and humans. His anger is multiplied when he realizes that his power is limited to the earth and against humans only, and will come to an end when the world ends and there will be no more humankind to tempt and to deceive. As long as we are on the ladder, he will come after us. Saint John, whom we honor, wrote of how we can get to heaven. We need to exert ourselves and continue climbing, getting closer to God, who is waiting for us in heaven with open arms. God has given us angels to aid us and to help us stay on the ladder of divine ascent. They are constantly with us, encouraging us and praying for us. We should all develop a habit of praying to our guardian angel either in the morning as we wake or just before returning in the evening. Let us conclude with a special prayer that I have here in another special book. And we have some of these also in our bookstore. It's just a very simple My Orthodox Prayer Book. Whenever Metropolitan Gerasimos is with us, he always has it in the pocket of his andari. And no matter what we are doing, he pulls out a special little prayer book. It's not this one, but a little red one, which is also in the bookstore. And he can pray for any occasion. This book I really like, and I want to read to you. It has a special prayer here for a guardian angel, or to your guardian angel. Holy angel, heavenly companion of my life, do not abandon me a sinner, nor leave room to evil demons to overwhelm me through my weaknesses, but rather take hold of my weak hand and guide me on the path of salvation. Yes, holy angel of God, guardian and protector of my soul and body, overlook all the things by which I have grieved you. Guard me also during the night and protect me from every influence of Satan, that I may not fall into sin. Intercede to the Lord for me, that he may grant me forgiveness of sins and help me to be worthy of his goodness. Amen. So please consider praying to your guardian angel and making that a part of your daily prayer routine. Amen.